Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Scott and Becky are tasked by Rob in identifying two anonymous Pinot Noirs, which happen to be Firesteed Pinot Noir and Opatagua Pinot Noir. So sit back, relax, and listen to Scott flounder here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Scott's not here tonight. This is Bo the Labradoodle speaking on Scott's behalf. Woof, woof.
This is a second take, folks. I hope he'd skip that, but he did not. It was so good the first time. Actually, it was better the first time. That time, it was bad, just to let you know.
Woof.
Also, yes, Wolf is correct. Also on the show tonight, folks, is the Triple B.
Good evening.
Now, you heard on the open what we're drinking tonight. However, these two individuals sitting across the table from me, you know, a reasonable distance, of course, do not, although they know it's Pinot Noir. So tonight's show, we have two different Pinot Noirs from two different places. Or maybe it's the same place. Who knows? Maybe it's the same. Maybe it's just one Pinot Noir. I'm just fucking with you.
He would do that.
We have two separate Pinot Noirs, a quasi blind tasting, even though you know what you're tasting. The main thing is it's a blind review. They know what they're drinking. They don't know the producer. They don't know where it's from. So it removes a little bit of prejudice, which I believe this room is full of.
What?
Especially Scott and mostly Becky.
What?
Yes. You are prejudiced in your wine reviews, I think. No, you're not.
Too prejudice to what?
I think. I just want to level the playing field. How's that sound? Give both wines ample opportunity to shine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do. And I've been paid handsomely by one of them. No, I'm not just joking.
I would say that Scott and I would be less likely to be prejudiced.
No.
When you, today, multiple times, used the phrase undesirables.
I did say that.
You are a bit of, dare I say,
when's the prejudice last time you said undesirables?
I don't even recall that.
I know. It's not even a word that's ever used by me.
Romney kind of used it, didn't he?
So that's interesting.
Well, Rob might be prejudiced against certain wines and wine regions enough that might clarify his descriptor as a wine snob.
Yeah. I would say
that's fine. Oh, you mean I don't like to drink Primus, whatever the fuck that shit was?
So we had a little.
By the way, that got 294s and a 90.
I know. That's why I bought it. So we love Opatagua from Colchagua Valley. So I picked up something else from Colchagua Valley and it was awful.
It was Primus, their red blend of some sort?
Yes.
A Bordeaux-style red blend.
In theory.
And Timmy Atkins and James Suckling apparently were out on a date, and they both gave it 94s. And I would rather drink someone's bathwater than that wine ever again.
It really was bad. What'd you... Manischewitz you compared it to.
Well, it smelled of Manischewitz.
Yes.
Yes. It smelled like church wine. Overtly jammy sweet. Grape jam, not raspberry jam, blueberry jam.
It had some
grape jam.
Weirdness about it.
Actually, not even jam, jelly. It smelled like grape jelly. Schmuckers or Welch's. The cheapest, you know, like you go to the food fair, the cheapest motherfucking jelly they have. The kind that when you scoop it out, you can't even spread the motherfucker. Just gets a little
beads. Just wobbles. It wobbles like jello.
Horrible. So forget that wine. When we come back, folks, we're going to start off with the number one wine, or just the first wine, as it would be. The first Pinot Noir. Break that down.
We are wine number one. We are wine number one. Where is wine number two?
It's
back in that carafe.
In the carafe that's labeled number two.
But where's the rest of the bottle?
Well, obviously, I don't have them sitting on the table. Otherwise, you would know what they are. Okay. They're right actually in there, in the wooden cabinet there. So they're not far away.
Don't you have to go to the bathroom when you break?
Is it that exciting to you to know which one they are?
We just want to play along.
Okay. If you had simple math skills, you could probably figure out what they are, but that's okay. You don't have that. So we're going to take a break. Math skills. We're going to take a break, folks. And when we come back, oh, Jesus, Scott's going to do another dog impression, and it'll be the best thing he does all night long here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So, Pinot Noir number one. In the glass, folks. It's somewhat translucent, as Pinot Noir should be.
It looks like a Pinot.
It's crimson.
It has the brickish.
Yeah, the crimson look to it. Mm-hmm. Turn the lights off tonight, so we're doing this in the dark, which doesn't make much sense. Well, Scott could turn around and turn the light on, but he just hasn't.
I expected something from the wine guy, like, but if Scott's Bo always was, used to being in the dark.
That's true.
Oh, I was going to say, if Bo was worth anything.
He can't. Yeah, it's a poor.
He can't be bothered.
No. What, Scott?
Why are you saying I'm not worth anything? I'm loyal.
Well, Bo's like 5 months old. Wouldn't his voice be cracking because he's in puberty? Okay.
Very well developed.
Well, we're going to be making him an appointment soon.
Make a gelding out of him.
Yeah.
Aw, that breaks my heart.
Snip, snip.
He has some of the behaviors already that we need to...
Yes. He'll be wearing the cone of shame. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I wonder if he'll have another voice change.
Hi. Hello, it's Bo. I don't have any more testes.
It does not affect your voice.
Oh, your voice is still deep enough, huh?
I didn't have that done, but...
That was an odd Saturday night for you, wasn't
getting
it?
Getting snipped does not affect your voice.
It's a little more than that, I think, so...
Oh.
You know? What was Hank asking where to get snipped last night? I offered...
That's a little personal, but... Somebody was involved was asking... So we'd had a little bit to drink, and at first I wasn't certain if he was asking where they snip you.
Around the dick area, I think. Somewhere in the dick area.
Somewhere in the genitalia.
Yes, your genitalia.
But then
I think he actually was asking that. He doesn't know, understand.
Did you explain to him about the vas deferens?
No, I said I was explaining the dick area. That's what I was. Let me explain the dick area, sir.
Okay, next. I would rather not talk about this.
Yeah, let's not talk about the dick area.
Or getting snipped.
That's true, too.
Okay, so this does not have a huge Pinot Funk nose.
Get back on track. No, it does not.
Wait, I'm taking us off track.
I know. Yes. What's going on?
Red raspberry preserved / jam.
There's
again, is a fairly classic.
Mm-hmm.
it seems like there is a bit of a floral.
My notes, rose petal. Yeah, it's a little bit like of that. Rosemary, possibly a little herbaceousness.
I was going to say herbaceousness. I don't know about rosemary herbaceousness, but...
And then vanilla. Just kind of just a slathering of vanilla, which gives it kind of a... Overall, a blurred sense as you smell it. So, the floral is just all maybe just a touch muddled from the vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like almost like the muddledness almost gives it. It's not, but similar to like a cherry cola aroma thing going on.
It's a little bit smoother than that.
It's not the harshness of the cola side, but it's that.
There's a, yes, a little pop of, well, the jam, I think, is what it would be. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Waxiness, candle level type stuff. It reminds me of the soap Tone, slightly.
Tone. Not Irish Spring.
Well, no, not Irish Spring.
Tone.
Zest. It reminds me of Zest. No, it actually reminds me of...
Dove?
No, the pumice shit. What is that called?
Lava.
Lava. Reminds me of lava soap. Actually, no, 19 Crimes reminds me of lava soap.
I wish 19 Crimes reminded me of lava soap.
It tastes like lava soap. The liquid one.
You know, if you... If you swirl and swirl and swirl and swirl.
And swirl.
And then hit it hard. There's a little funk in the background.
Sure.
Maybe if you want it to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's soapier, too.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. It's a clean funk.
Scott, what are your thoughts on where this is from?
None. No clue.
Well, that's honest.
Because of the lack of funk?
Yeah.
I would guess California. Yeah. But that's all I've got. That's the only reason why. Because you just don't always see the Pinot Funk in Cali. But, you know, this could be Oregon. Could be New Zealand. But I don't know.
I really can't wait to taste it because the nose is pretty light.
Mm. But it's not a bad nose.
No, no. It's a totally, I feel like it's a very, like, textbook Pinot nose.
Other than missing a big funk.
Yeah. But then I'm really nervous about drinking it and what is going to come out of it. Like, I feel like we've had a lot of wines on the nose. We're like, oh, this is very nice. And you drink it and it is like.
Well, the other thing we're going to say is you're going to tell me how much you think it costs. So.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
These both are similar.
Rob does
price,
that
but not
to
exactly.
me every time we drink a Pinot. He makes me guess. Or every time we drink a wine, a mystery wine, how much do you think it costs?
Mm-hmm.
So I recently showed my mom Kim Crawford's Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
She loved it.
She should.
She loved it.
It's
she
a delight.
It. She picked out the grapefruit, too.
Did you know that
my
mom
picked out the grapefruit?
They make cans of it now. We told you about that, right?
Yeah.
And they make half bottles.
I think the half bottle's a cool concept. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that ad nauseum.
Yeah. I just think it's so nice, especially like your mom.
Yes.
Yes.
She will not open a bottle of wine by herself.
Yeah.
Well, she just doesn't.
They actually have a slogan for the cans. Kim Crawford in a can when you're just tired of pretending. I don't know what that means, but I think it means that you're drunk and you just say, fuck it. You know, he's like, you know what? I'm going to drink.
And you're just Kim Crawford in a can when you're just tired of pretending.
Kim Crawford in a can when you couldn't find Ferrari Carano Fumé Blanc in a bottle. There was that one, too. That was the second
that
one.
That was the second one?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're drinking a lot of Kim Crawford in a can, then?
No, I've had it once. It's not terrible, but it's not exactly still either.
And I don't know how much it is. It's very nice, but I don't know how much it is Kim Crawford.
No, it's a Kim Crawford-esque product.
Yeah.
However, it's not
easily the best canned wine I've had.
Well, you haven't had them all. Have you ever? Mm. You have not had Underwood Pinot Noir.
So here's another question, Scott. Is there any chance that you think that this could be from South America?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it could be.
Only reason I am asking.
So far you guys have agreed it's from Earth.
It's not European.
Yeah. I think so.
It's not European. I would be shocked if we drank it and felt like it was European, right? Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah, we'll see.
I am a little bit, just based off the nose, I am a little bit leaning for it being from South America.
Okay.
What about from Asia?
Yeah.
It's Chinese.
I've thought that. I was like, this smells like a Russian Pinot.
Maybe it's Moldovan. Is that Asian? Yeah, I think so. No, it's European.
All right.
Who the fuck cares?
Moldova.
Are we going to taste it now?
Yeah, I am.
I think that would
taste
help.
It immediately.
That would help, yes.
Again, this is one of those where good listeners could just see the look on the wine guy's face. He's playing a drum set with his arms.
Oh, I thought he was being like a nutcracker. I don't know. Like a nutcracker.
Yes.
I don't know.
Cymbals.
Yeah.
Well, I read one review about this wine, and I said, that couldn't be. Oh, it was right. They were completely right. They said, I'll just read the review.
I'm going to sit over here because I don't want to be able... I'm like purposefully blocking what it says.
Fire error... let me just... what does it say? Not fire. Oh, yeah. The dominant flavor here is vanilla, and it obliterates what might otherwise be pleasantly light and tangy raspberry fruit. Perhaps aggressive decanning will help to bring the fruit out.
Aggressive decanning.
Though
shaking it violently.
Retasting after a full day of being open just seemed to accentuate the bitterness. That was from the wine enthusiast.
So hats off to the wine enthusiast. They left it open for a day to see if they could get the vanilla to calm down.
Didn't have anything better to do.
Hilarious.
I don't think it's
not that bad.
Bitter.
No.
I wouldn't use the word bitter.
It hasn't been open for a day.
But the vanilla on it just completely overpowers any part of the Pinot qualities that we all love. Yep. It is very strong.
At least it's not, well.
It's not gross, vanilla.
It comes across as vanilla, not oak, and that's where it's coming from.
Yeah.
So at least it's palatable in that, and some people might enjoy that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It's just it's not the way I like my Pinots. Actually, I think without the vanilla, there's not a bad Pinot in there. It's a little bit lighter, but
this is just truly cementing my belief that this is from South America.
This reminds me of vanilla when you get that really big Zin that they've oaked well, and you get that vanilla streak in there. But there's so many other things going on with it that
actually,
not that this is unappealing.
No,
it's
not bad.
No.
It's just there's not much else there with it.
No, right. But this actually, you know, when I'm thinking about this price range and this where it's from, this does that makes a lot of sense given what I've had. This is not bad. And the enthusiasts also gave it 85 of their points, which is not very many of their points, which I think it's at least an 85, maybe an 86-ish.
Yeah.
But it's not elite. But then again, I mean, at $50, how good could it be?
That vanilla is almost like...
Or 60.
What's the vanilla candy?
Vanilla candy?
What's the vanilla candy?
Werther's?
Like
I don't know.
Like a Brock's vanilla cream.
Oh, I don't know if I've had
that. I haven't been around a lot of 85-year-olds.
A lot of Brock's in my grandparents' house.
Yeah. I'm sure they made a vanilla candy.
Yeah.
It's just not popular. Because that's, you know, Although as I get older, I'm enjoying more and more vanilla.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell Scott about the blueberries?
I told him.
He did. Lovely. He raved about the blueberries.
The blueberries were
fantastic. I know. I tried to get him to taste them. He was like, no, I'm not really a blueberry fan. I'm like, no, these are perfection.
Where did you get? So Rob was telling last night, and what Becky's trying to get us to talk about, that these blueberries, Rob was raving that they lavender.
Oh, yeah.
Was the flavor that you talked
about.
And
the perfect skin, the perfect ripeness. They were just from Kroger. Nothing fancy at all.
You bite into them and they burst and just fresh blueberry flavor with notes of lavender. I mean, it was.
And the perfect touch of sweetness. Like, just the fruit. The past, like, probably 2 weeks, the fruit has just been exceptional.
It was almost a wine experience. And the blackberries also were almost a wine-like experience. That much juiciness, that much richness from the fruit. I've never experienced that from actual fruit where I said, you know what? I have the same visceral response that I do when I drink good wine.
I think part of that.
Fun.
That was amazing.
Part of that, I think, is related to being on keto because you're not eating like a Hershey bar. So you're able to pick up on the sweetness of fruit more, don't you think?
Sometimes.
And I think it makes you more in tune to some of those delicate flavors in the fruit. It was exceptionally good, but I think it also, when you're in ketosis, I just think it makes your palate better for things like that.
I wonder if that's been studied, because
don't you think that?
I wonder because I've thought that myself about. Just different things. More like picking up subtle flavors in meat.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's easier to pick up the subtleties of a higher quality beef, for example.
Yeah. So.
I think it was blueberries when we were very, very first on keto. And we were doing something and I had maybe 4 blueberries. And it was like I was blown away by the sweetness of a blueberry. And I don't ever remember having that sensation about it until...
You know, honestly, as this wine opens up, that vanilla is falling back in the background. And actually, I think it just adds a nice bit of body to it. It's I think it's a lovely Pinot.
It is...
I don't think the vanilla is as...
It's not overdoing. And it's not
bitter. It was initially for a sip, it's but then once you get accustomed to it, you're like, okay, that's just a nuance.
Yeah, once you're expecting it. Yeah. But it's just, it's a pretty big nuance.
To me, it's heavy-handed oaking. It's not off-putting, but it's a heavy-handed oaking.
I think
I just think the vanilla came across heavy oaking. Mm-hmm. The other oak characteristics are right in line. It's just the vanilla's bigger. I like the finish on this, which is probably... overcomes the vanilla, particularly as it calms down a little bit.
The wine itself isn't overtly complex.
Right.
And there's no front palate.
And if I was going to say, too, if there wasn't oaking, what would there be?
A
bit of raspberry and...
Do you get raspberry on the front palate?
I do.
A little bit?
I'd maybe do right before the vanilla hits.
Yeah, there's raspberry, but...
To use Rob's phrase, this is a very medium-bodied wine. And if it didn't have the oaking, it would be...
And then a tart cherry mid-palate. Then it filters into that tart cherry / red currant kind of thing.
Yeah.
With a little bit of acidity that kind of cleans it up somewhat. I mean, it's not my favorite Pinot, but I've drank so many that I dislike. And I would not say I dislike this.
Yeah, and it's in a way, it's interesting because this vanilla is so raw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think of something, and I get it.
Yeah.
Where is it from? I think Becky could be right. South America. I don't necessarily pick up on that, but I would go with it. If we were going to, like, consensus on this, I could totally go with that. But I could also see it being... low budget Oregon or something. I don't know.
So Becky,
how much do you think it cost?
Not much.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's somewhere in the $18 to $20 range. Ooh. Is what I would be guessing.
See, where I would go is like $15.
Mm. Scott, you think it's what? $15.
I'm going $15.
From where?
I'm going with Becky, South America. I think she's got good instincts on this.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Now,
I don't have it. I just know.
Mm-hmm. I know Pinot, I don't know by region. Great.
I just, the lack of any funk, I think it could be from a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know enough about Oregon Pinots to know if, I just don't know enough about them. But I could see the wine guy slipping in an Oregon on this.
I could too.
Or a Moldovan. Review time, folks. Triple B, what would you give this numerical score to this wine?
I'm going to give it an 85. I think you are right. It's fine. I wouldn't order it at a restaurant. I wouldn't go out of my way to buy it again. But if I had it, if someone opened it, I would drink it.
I'm the same way. It's not bitter. It's
right.
Just unusual, the vanilla, but it's kind of grows on you a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's an easy drinker. It's not hard to drink. No. It's just...
A lot of people would find this appealing.
Yes.
I think so, too. The only thing is, we've talked about this before, there are so many more interesting wines that, again, I would open... Like, if we came to Scott's and he had it open and he was like, here, have a glass, I would drink it. But I would not ever buy this or search it out again.
Like, what could you possibly pair this with? You know, so it's just, you know, if this is a $12 bottle, then
goat cheese.
Yeah, I would probably buy this again and drink it just for, you know, an everyday thing. Just, you know, instead of drinking a $9 Klein one night, you know, it's freaking... This at 12,
or Wicker Basket Chianti,
which
you have in your house,
and so, specifically for that purpose
to have in your house. Yes, we know that. Yes,
and you, how much do you think it is? 15,
just to oversell. Okay. I think 15. Would I buy this at 15? Probably not.
Yeah.
And what's your score?
I was at the same place, 85, and I was toying a little higher, but it's not Pinot enough.
Mm.
I'm going to give it an 86, partly because I think I enjoy it more. I appreciate the vanilla because it gives it some sort of backbone, and makes it far more drinkable. The drinkability is what brings it up. I think that, you know, it's Pinot Light, if anything. It's nothing that's going to be a hardcore Pinot. However, the fact that it is drinkable, you do know it's Pinot, it's drinkable. And it's pleasant. It has a freshness on the finish. I mean, there are some appealing aspects to it that not all things have. Some things are just dog farts. This one, no.
I almost went 86.2. And again, I also enjoyed the finish on this. It's subtly dry. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It kind of sneaks up on you, the dryness.
And the nose is interesting, too.
You're not getting that mouthwash effect of the astringency, but it's a nice, subtle, lingering little dry little Pinot.
Mm-hmm. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Are you going to reveal at the end?
We're going to reveal at the very end.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm here for that.
So, folks, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back with the second mystery Pinot Noir here on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, Pinot Noir numero dos.
Okay.
Or once, dos, tres, I don't know how it works. Anyway, this wine, once again, in the glass, getting right into it. It's a little bit darker. Mm-hmm. Yep. Still crimson.
Darker. It is darker in color, but I think it's more translucent. Does that make sense?
No, because you're wrong in both accounts. It's darker, but it's not more translucent.
I think so.
How can it be darker yet translucent?
I can see more, comparing one to the other, I can see more light through it.
Maybe you're having like light spots on your cornea.
Flashback. Acid flashbacks.
No, what is that called? You have a
stroke?
No, a bad case of... It's a sight issue. What's it called?
Yeah, I don't know.
Lights. You're fucked up.
Retina detaching?
Could be.
I don't know. Glaucoma?
Yes, glaucoma. You have glaucoma.
Macular degeneration.
That too. Good thing we have a dog here. He can lead you out of the basement.
Yeah, well, he's useful.
Poor Bobo.
Good.
He does like me too.
The nose has funk.
Oh, it's all funk.
Woo!
It has raspberry, though. It's a sweeter funk. And then it has something else in there. It has some herb in there too. What is that?
Green pepper is what that is.
Oh, huh. Where do we see that? Green pepper.
It smells like a garden. Tomato stem.
I would go more tomato stem.
Yeah.
I don't quite get green pepper.
Stemmy. It's not.
Vegetables.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, no, I smell green pepper now.
But that funk, you don't have to swirl it in your glass, and it's just funk. Mm-hmm. But is it really funk, or is it just that vegetation?
It's vegetation.
I don't...
It's Jumanji in a glass.
Traditional funk, like earthy barnyard Pinot funk, this is just vegetation. It tricked me.
Mm-hmm. You need a machete, man. It's the jungle.
There's something in there, and I don't know if it's just the crispness of a tomato stem smell, but there's something in there that is almost a hint of a citrus edge to it.
Almost.
But I don't know if it's...
Grapefruit.
I wondered if it was a lemon is what I was getting, but you think it's grapefruit?
There's something grapefruit. Slightly citrusy behind all this.
Pink grapefruit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which makes
you
me
have
think
to
of
pull enough. Hard. You yeah. have to you have to really hit it hard, and then it yep. it wafts yeah.
from a different. I mean, it's kind of like a mosaic. It's a what the Rorschach test. It's, you look at it, and you see 10 different things.
Oh yeah.
But if you smell it in a different way, you think, and you characterize that in your mind, you're like, oh yeah,
like
that could be
like skin of a grapefruit. Yeah. Or a grapefruit zest.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly.
It is what it is. Yes, that's a good catchback. All right.
I caught that.
No, I said there was something citrus in it.
Yes, she did.
Said lemon.
She said she was going for lemon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my Lord.
Agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Is that spice box?
This rose would be good with petals. A mango chutney.
Rose water, you asshole. If you're going to quote me correctly. What's that?
I said it would be good with mango chutney.
Mango chutney. Oh, and Wilfred Wong, yeah, I love mango chutney. Last time I had it.
On a red snapper.
Okay. No, I had it on a fried bologna sandwich.
Before we have a sip of it.
Yes.
Oh.
Are we going to be impressed or disappointed after this nose?
I'm going disappointed. I'm going.
Because of the vegetal?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, doesn't that scare you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah.
You're
going to
be.
And I'm like,
hopeful.
Oh, I feel so hopeful with this one.
You do now, still?
I did. When I smelled the grapefruit, I was like, oh, maybe this is something from New Zealand. Maybe. But I feel like that.
Maybe. Oh.
But I just feel like the vegetal is drawing me back to South America.
Everything is from South America today, apparently. It's all repatriated Nazis. You know?
Why is it that when we think vegetation, though I don't really think
you thought the last one was South America.
We did. I went.
Everything is South America, and that wasn't vegetal.
I may have swayed Scott though. Maybe the first one was from. Or
I just went with it because I just didn't have anything. Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
Do you have any thoughts on this one?
I'm scared.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on location?
I'll withhold judgment until we consume.
It's from the Bowery.
It's such a... Mm-hmm. The vegetation's so strong. I garden, and that tomato scent, not of a fruit, but of a plant. You get it on your hands when you're dealing with the plants, and that is what it smells like. Rob is shooting pistolero.
F-I-N-E, fine. Delicioso. Ooh, yeah, baby. Oh, that's a good one. The finish is a triumphant tannic. Richness. Oh, hallelujah. Holy shit. That is a good wine. First of all, it
starts off with a little acidity.
It does.
Which concerned me at first. Shouldn't. You were doing your little dance, and then...
It's got like a citrus acidity.
Yes. Of course it does.
I don't know about the citrus, but it's just pure acidity. To me, I didn't necessarily
take another drink.
But I didn't necessarily pick up a citrus note. I didn't pick up a grapefruit or anything like that. For me, it was just acidity.
It's medium to full-bodied.
On a Pinot scale.
On a scale.
It's not a full-bodied wine.
It's got meaty minerality. The minerality is killer. Fruit-wise, well, is that blueberry? It is a bit of blueberry with a briar patch-ish kind of thing going on because it's rustic. It's a very rustic fruit. Not jammy. We're talking like a linear-driven fruit.
I get a big grapefruit skin flavor. I think it's in my mid palate.
Well, the acidity, it has a bit of that tang to it. It's a tang of acidity. And there's also that backbone of oak that's running the whole time. I'm sure it's French. But
the French oak?
French oak.
The wine is French.
French oak. I'm not sure about anything in this
it's
world.
It's really... The oak on this is really well done. It is... Nice. It's prevalent, but it's not overbearing.
Yeah.
It's really, well, I wouldn't quite use the word subtle.
It's not
really well done.
This wine isn't overtly oaked. It's only 30% of the wine is oaked on barrel for 6 to 9 months.
I think they did a fine job with that blend.
It's like a best supporting character.
Yeah.
I think they did a really good job with that. Mm-hmm. Would you say 30%?
Mm-hmm.
For how long?
6 to 9.
Huh.
You're like, I know what it is. No, you don't.
No, I don't. By far, this is better than Numero Uno.
Yeah.
It's not even close. Although, you know, we grew to like that vanilla.
Oh, I like that other one. I mean, but this is just different.
You know what would be nice in this wine?
What?
If it had a little of that vanilla in it. This would be a superstar then.
Oh, it would be.
It really would be. If you kind of like combine these two wines, you'd have a superstar wine.
Oh, you would. Mm-hmm.
But so this has a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, this is a wine that you could just about go around the room and do flavors on.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let me just get a little. Oh, that's one. I was like, hey,
I'm going to tannins. Rob had it perfectly right. This is not, would you say, not rare, but it's infrequent that you would say a tannin is one of the first or second things you talk about in a Pinot?
That would be different. Let's just say that.
To say different. That's a good word.
Mm-hmm. Can I have a little bit more if I turn away?
What about his ass?
Turn away.
No. I don't trust either one of you.
Where is it, Dan?
No, it's in that cabinet.
Oh.
Now, folks.
I have a thought on what it is. Someone,
guys, this is Bo. We're tired of you berating us and not trusting your friends.
What, you drank through trust your him. Glass already, Becky.
Yeah.
Down the hatch.
That's what was my first clue on what it was.
Pour me what's on, too. I would like a little taste of this Pinot Number 2.
Now, you know, he has no
delicious.
Clue.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has no clue. So let's go around the room. Becky, give me a flavor.
Grapefruit.
Oh, okay. Scott?
I said tannins.
It's not a flavor. But
well, we characteristic.
I'm about out of wine.
Mm. Well, we'll be finishing this up very quickly because we need to fill our glasses. But, you know, it, strangely enough, it borderlines on a baking cherry, but it's not quite the right flavor. Almost a rhubarb cherry pie. My mother would make that because she just wouldn't have enough both. So she would make, but it's rhubarb cherry.
It's a delicious combination of pie. I'd see.
Just would mix the two.
And for
you
me.
You always do rhubarb, strawberry rhubarb.
Strawberry
cherry rhubarb.
Yeah. I think cherry rhubarb is a little unusual. Meyer, years ago, used to do the strawberry rhubarb, and it was
so
a fantastic
pie. My favorite
pie
from growing up.
Well, we always had a cherry tree in our yard.
That's
growing
why.
Up. A big fucking cherry tree. Mm-hmm. And she could, we just can cherries and make cherry pie. I mean, it would yield a ton. It's obviously dead now, but I mean, it yielded, Scott, a shocking amount of cherries. But it was a big tree, big tree. We also had apple trees and everything. They got taken up by the tornado, though. Apple trees lined down through there. Actually, the whole backyard were lined with apple trees on both sides. You'd have apples covering the whole damn yard. And then, you know, that cherry tree. And then one of them was also a pear tree, but they all got taken up by a tornado. But still... Huh. It kind of reminds me of that, but
see, for me, the acidity is a tart cherry, but I also see the citrus. But the acidity for me is different from that citrus flavor. Where were we at? So it's Becky's turn.
Yes, she drank it all. Not surprising.
I'm like had 2 drops of wine. To taste off of. So I said grapefruit. Scott, you said tannin. Rob, you said cherry.
Yeah.
Because I have no wine, I couldn't tell anything. I would say oak to get it out of the way.
Yeah, it's got a nice...
Say spice box.
It has a nice little kind of smoky oak to it, about it. I agree. You know, there's a little bit of strawberry in there.
Don't you taste the rose water?
I try not to taste rose water. I just try to splash my face with it so that I can absorb it.
Splash my face. That reminds me of a never mind.
The other thing I would say about the oak is...
I want to splash your face with rose water.
Where the first Pinot... where the first Pinot had a vanilla... I would guess probably American oaking. This oaking is different, and I feel like it would be such a good exercise for someone to have the two different types of oaking.
Oh, sure.
And because it's just so, I don't know, stereotypical. This is what an American oaking tastes like. This is what a French oaking tastes like. Really good.
But I wouldn't splash you profusely, just so that droplets would drip down your face. Okay. The rose water.
Your turn, Rob.
I don't want to do this anymore. Minerality.
What minerality?
Minerality
in the mid-palate.
What minerality? You would describe it. Flint. Gravel.
Slate.
Just general.
Shale.
General minerality. No, I said a little bit of a red meat minerality. So
see, it's kind of a nondescript minerality. You said minerality, and I was. It's there.
It's not slate.
But it's like what? It's not. I don't quite get the red meat.
Almost. You didn't notice the part where I said almost? It verges on that. If it's anything, it's that.
What?
Red meat.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If anything. And we're talking about jerky. We're not talking about, oh, that's a steak. No, no. But it almost gets to that point, but it doesn't have enough body and in depth to get to that. But if anything, it has minerality that comes close to that. Kind of just a unbridled minerality.
Yeah, it's just
out of wine, so I can't do another one.
That's fine.
I think where it is.
Yes.
What about the mouthfeel?
It's a nice Pinot mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
As Rob said, this is a little more on the more. It's not a full-bodied wine, but on the Pinot scale, mm-hmm. it's more full than rather
it's
lean.
It's a full medium in the generality.
What would you say? Almost velvety mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Not quite creamy, but
almost velvety. Not quite,
but not yet.
I would say definitely elevated.
It's definitely got a nice mouthfeel.
Could it be Turley?
No.
No, of course not. So, folks, we're going to
Where do you think it's from?
Oregon.
Oh.
Oh. Where do you think it's from, Becky?
New Zealand.
Oh.
Oh, nice call.
Scott.
Would you expect this kind of mouthfeel from New Zealand? They're generally on more of the lean side, unless it's Loblock. Would he do that to us? Do you know this is Loblock?
I don't know
How
that it's
dare
Loblock.
You.
I have a suspicion that it is Loblock, and I'm a little bit upset that
Insider.
He is doing it split three ways.
How dare he?
Mm-hmm.
But see, I feel good about that.
It's Kim Pinot. It's a possibility, but I am leaning a little bit more towards it being actually Loblock because it just is really...
It's just really, really well done.
If this is Kim Crawford Pinot, I would be thrilled because it's at such a better price point. But I just don't think that it is. I think it's Loblock.
Mm.
Well, folks, let's get some scores
here. I think it's Elowon.
By the way, this is turning out much more entertaining for me than I
guess
thought.
Guess we're way wrong.
Yeah. So, Becky, a score.
To me, this is just about a perfect Pinot taste. I'm not giving it a 100. I'm just saying,
okay.
In the things that I'm looking for in a Pinot, the fruit, the elevated mouthfeel,
mm-hmm.
It's very and very elegant. I chugged mine down. I mean, everything that you are looking for in a Pinot,
the
oaking is just really an elegant addition to the wine.
Mm-hmm.
I would give this like a 91.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Scott,
I'm not
And
there.
I would, the only thing that, this is another reason what makes me think it's Loblock, is because when we had Loblock at, what's the Cameron Mitchell restaurant downtown that we went to for your birthday?
Del Mar.
We had Loblock, and we were obsessing about it, and you were like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't that good for me that night. Mm-hmm. It didn't hit me. I didn't enjoy that bottle of Love Block as well as I did my first two. I think that was my third. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Scott, what's your score?
I'm between 87 and 88. I'm going to go 88.
Dipshit.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's the nose. It bugged me.
You stink.
Green pepper.
I mean, you stink, so we don't knock you down for the way you
smell.
No,
I showered. I didn't put on.
Well, I'm giving it a 90, folks. Okay. And I'm ignoring Scott's 88.
And where do you think it's from? Where did you say?
Well, he said Oregon.
I think
Oregon.
I hope you're right that it is.
And this wine is going in the Hall of Fame. So just
that's fine.
We're ignoring Scott's 88 because it's dumb. So, and when Scott's going to be so upset when he finds out what this is.
What is it?
We're going to come back.
Oh, tell us now.
And then I'm going to reveal all here on the Wine Vault.
The wine guy tells all.
That's right. It's like the Bachelor kind of. Mm-hmm. Be right back. And we're back, folks. So, how did our illustrious panel do tonight with their mystery Pinots? They knew what the wine was, but they had to guess where it was from. Mm-hmm. So, wine number one, Becky and Scott, you know, they pretty much knocked down, you know, the flavors, everything. I agree with, we had very close bracketed scores, all that. But the price range. First of all, Becky thought it was between 18 and 20 from South America. Scott, because he's a follower, not a leader, said $15 from South America. He couldn't make up his own mind.
No, I didn't have an opinion.
Now, let's just start off with the price. This wine cost $12.99.
I almost went $13.
But I paid $8.99. Now, Scott should have listened to his instincts because it, in fact, is from Oregon.
Job.
From Willamette Valley, as a matter of fact, and it's Firesteed Pinot Noir, folks.
Huh.
The 18. Firesteed. They're a normal. I mean, they're.
I didn't even know we had that.
Yeah, that's why I drank it. That's why I brought it out. And then the second one. I know Becky wants to know what the second one is, so she can have another glass. And I understand why she would.
Because you
think Scott would want that more. Now they both guessed. Scott said Oregon. Okay. Now what price range do you think was on the second one? By the way. You think it's Love Block, so you think it's around 30, right? Scott, what's your price range?
It's definitely not cheap. I'm going to go $22.
Scott says $22, and you said Oregon, because a lot of things are $22. Mm-hmm. And Becky says 30 in New Zealand. Now,
well, I think actually you said 30 for her.
Well, that's what Love Block costs.
Okay. Well, you're mansplaining for her, so.
No,
Becky,
I
am defending him.
You dipshit.
You from
mainly
him mansplaining.
What's happening is you're both preventing me from opening the door and having another glass.
No fucking shit, right?
It's because when you go
I'm
to
not
bed.
Preventing you. I tried to get him to go to the bathroom so we could know what the shit is.
All right. So, first of all, let's just start off with the price. Both of you are very, very wrong.
Ooh. Okay.
It's $85 a bottle.
What?
It's actually not. It's $12.99. It's actually from South America. It's Chilean, and it's Apatagua.
Yes!
I wondered if Apatagua was going to be one of the wines. I thought Apatagua was the first wine.
And now, for all of you that are deaf out there, because Becky had to yell,
wow.
Apatagua. Apatagua is a very, it's a friend of the show, Douglas, one of our esteemed listeners. Not that we have just one, but we have many esteemed listeners. But Douglas had recommended we try that a while back. So we did, I think, the 16 or the 17. This is the 18.
Oh, okay.
Scott bought this, and he's had it before, and he loved it. And he said it's better than the 17,
no,
he gives it an 88.
No.
Because he's a dipshit.
I bought this. I'd had the 17.
No, you had the 18 as well. You bought two 18s. We drank one when we were playing marbles.
Oh.
And this is
are
the
you
other
sure
one.
It wasn't a 17?
Yes. so, and you loved
even
that one.
Then. That's we what. Said we liked the 16 better.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did,
folks. This is why we do blind tasting. So Scott looks like an asshole.
No, I'm not an asshole.
We are, but I mean,
it wasn't Love Block.
Why did you think I would pull out Love Block? That's not a show wine. Not for this one. You remember when I said undesirables?
She wanted to be mad.
It's not Kim Crawford now.
Becky wanted to be angry. No, but she's not. So aren't you happy?
I am not. I'm so happy because this was very, very good. I will tell you, the one thing that makes me mad about this is the vegetal piece. We know that that is South America. And I was swayed. And I was swayed and swayed and swayed by that grapefruit.
Well, we
and
just I didn't, know we didn't want to pick South America twice. Yeah. Come on.
But I know we both know that. You get that green pepper vegetable. Where does that come from? South America.
But I don't think of it in a Pinot. Mm-hmm. But we don't. Have we had any other South American Pinots other than Apatagua? Rob is saying yes, you have.
Santa Carolina. I don't want any more.
Santa Carolina.
We've had several.
Several?
Mm-hmm. Very.
Not that you remember.
Not that I remember.
You,
obviously.
I mean, you think we haven't had any Argentinian Cabernet, so I bought a liter bottle of one just to imprint into your mind that we have. I like this because both of. I mean, Scott. First of all, the first one, you're like. Taste of Oregon, and you're right, it did have the Willamette Valley finish to it, which is to say not much of one.
But I said I don't even, it could be Oregon for all I know, but I don't know what Oregon Pinot tastes like.
You were a little bit more sure of yourself, but you didn't believe in yourself. You see, you need to channel.
I would have gone back and I would have picked Cali.
You probably shouldn't say R. Kelly, but Cali, go back, and this is what you should channel. Sure. Channel Samuel Robert Winery, other than the dirt bike track. Mm. Remember how it was shitty?
Shitty.
Well, I know, but we're not talking about shitty to shitty.
No, it wasn't that shitty.
Think about how that wine was structured. That wine, aside from the vanilla, has a similar...
It was straightforward. It was linear.
It's a similar structured wine.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're both from the same Willamette. I mean, that's why. So if you think of what that tasted like, then you see the blueprint of this wine. That's how you can match things up. On this, on the Apatagua, the nose probably should have given it away. The acidity and everything, it's just a very complex wine for $12.99. That's why Douglas...
Unreal.
Yeah. Fact. It's an unreal value. Right now, it's sold out on wine.com.
Is
you.
It?
Oh, of course it is. And this is their Reserva, by the way, but their Reserva is $12.99. It's probably the best value in Pinot Noir that exists.
Did you get this on wine.com?
Yeah, Scott did. Yeah.
You did.
But it's probably the best value on planet Earth for a Pinot, period. I mean, it just is probably the best Pinot in this price range, bar none.
Do you I don't recall the 16 having the vegetal 17. Nose.
It's right there on there.
I don't recall the vegetal nose.
I don't recall the nose much. I know that
we went
thoroughly impressed.
Batshit over it.
But actually, I gave it the same review of 290s.
Okay. Mm.
Something.
And it's funny. What score did I give it?
An 88.
88.
Yep, you did.
I did. Yep. So there's a funny consistency there.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I fucking love this.
I know. Yeah. It's wonderful.
And maybe it's just I don't know that well, yeah. And I'm missing the ball there, but I
would also say major thanks to our listener for suggesting this wine.
Douglas, yes.
Yeah, really, really appreciate it, Douglas. Rob and I were talking about this wine earlier today, and I was like, I just don't remember drinking it on the show. Was I on that episode? And I think that I was pregnant.
You were pregnant.
You were pregnant.
Whenever you all did this.
We did a lot of drinking when you were pregnant.
But
you were pregnant a lot, though.
So one thing I do recall, we weren't sure whether she'd like it because it had a bit more minerality than this one did.
We didn't think she'd like it because it was Pinot Noir and she didn't drink Pinot Noir then.
But I think it had a little more minerality than this.
Then you drank Zinfandels, Cabs, and occasionally Merlot. That's about it. You didn't like
Funk.
You didn't like...
Didn't like minerality.
No.
Didn't like oak.
You still don't like Tessalet, and that just upsets me.
You didn't seem that upset last night when you bought a bottle of it. Mm-hmm.
It was lovely, wasn't it?
It is really nice.
It's very nice.
It's not good at all.
It's just ignorant.
Really?
Yeah. Scott. I can't even drink a glass of it.
Why? What is it?
Tastes like wine. She hates the French, I think is what it amounts to. Where I love the French, aside from their, you know, ability
when
to fight wars.
When Rob's opened it up on a Friday night, I get so mad. And then those are the nights that he ends up falling asleep on top of the dog bed on the floor.
That's true. I haven't opened it for a while. Mm-hmm. It's not a good second wine, folks, because it is a 15er. It's like it's rattlesnake venom. It'll bite you. It's not Hecula rattlesnake venom. Hecula tastes like rattlesnake venom, but still, you know. Someday we'll do the 13 Hecula just to, as a retrospective to see if it's still amazing, which there'll be a roll of dice on that one.
I think I've got one.
So do I.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, Shakespearean Phil texted me tonight. There's a Belgian beer, and you know this, Orval.
Yeah.
He had one that was bottled in 2011 that had an expiration date, they said, of 16, and he opened it today, and he said it was wonderful, and which it would be. Folks, if you see Orval, it's single bottle, it's about $4.50 a bottle, maybe $5 now. If you like to cellar things, it's a beer to cellar because they're all dated, and they all have aging recommendations. Buy half a dozen Orvals, set them down. And let them age. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
We'll have to. You know, I have those all those Trader Joe's spiced Christmas ales that they you can allegedly age.
Uh-huh.
I missed the last 2 years, maybe the last three, but I've got like 6 years running.
Well,
it'd be a fun thing to do.
I had a ton of boomers, you know, from back when I was in that boomer thing. I just don't drink beer anymore.
All right, neither do I.
I gave them to Phil.
Nice.
Yeah, I still have three more. I found more, but. And he's like, what the heck? I was like, for his birthday, I did that, and then I got him a bottle of the George Dickel.
Okay.
But, you know, it's like, hey, I need room for wine, man. I got to buy more Mercer for my wife. And Alpatagua, probably.
Yeah. I will say, during all of this COVID pandemic, wine.com, and I guess FedEx, has stopped requiring signatures, mm-hmm. right? So, at the beginning,
ooh,
they just wanted me...
That's questionable in consideration of the law in Ohio.
So, I think it... So, at the beginning, they just wanted... Like, William would answer the door. And they'd be like, is your mom or dad home? And so, they would just, like, need to see my face. And that was enough. Then, that probably was, like, 3 or 4 wine deliveries. Then, randomly, like 2 weeks ago, I had to sign for it. I had to, like, hold the guy's scanner and sign for it.
Okay.
And that was a little bit, it, like, really unnerved me. And I was like, I've really been waving through the door for the past 2 months or whatever. Well, we were out, was it yesterday morning?
Yesterday.
We were out yesterday morning. We got home and there was just a wine.com box sitting on the front porch. No signature, no proof of anybody even living in this house. And they just dropped it on the front porch.
But it's the 1 liter bottle of Argentinian wine, which we will embark upon that journey. Well, I don't know if it'll be next week or not. We might do the Vigna Borgia retrospective. I can't decide. It's so exciting.
Oh my gosh. It is. Well, I wouldn't say exciting, but I thought so. You finally stopped torturing your mom with single bottle deliveries from wine.
Well,
so
whenever Becky goes back to her office, it'll be going back to my mom's.
Which I hope is probably never.
So there you go.
I would love not having a commute anymore.
Yeah. Mm. So, folks, I hope you enjoyed our.
This was very fun. Thank you.
I'm glad you liked it.
It was fun. And what a good use of... Hey, nobody's thanked the purchaser of this wine. I get a lot of criticism for some of the bad wines I bring.
So true.
But it's Alpatagua. You didn't pick this out on your own. Douglas suggested it.
Who picked out this one?
I did.
Because
it was on clearance. It got the dreaded red tag.
Let me play wine guy for a second.
$8.99.
Let me play wine guy for a second.
I've never heard of Fire Steed.
Oh,
before.
No. They're a legit Oregon producer. Mm-hmm. And at $8.99.
But what is that? Is that a horse?
Could be.
Honestly.
Yeah.
We've talked about... What do you expect to pay for a budget or entry price, whatever the varietal is? And our number for Pinot has always been $20.
Yeah.
Oh, this is
for
$13 Chilean.
Bucks? That's a drinker.
You didn't know Alpatagua was Chilean?
No, because you all drank the first bottle when I wasn't on the show. So I missed all the background.
You've had Alpatagua. No, you haven't.
I have not had Alpatagua.
Didn't we bring one over for Marbles one night?
Yes, but Scott. point of order. Do you think marbles is an activity where people savor whatever they're drinking?
We usually do. Actually, we usually do. Until we get
drunk.
Wasted. Yeah,
that wasn't bottle number one. So, you know.
This is a delight.
Oh, my good Lord. I think Rob is definitely accurate. And Douglas, kudos. And I do say I think I like the 16 better.
Well, that's the 17.
The Minerati, excuse me, 17. The previous vintage, the Minerati, I recall, was a little bigger.
Seeing that you don't recall much.
I don't recall anything.
I don't put that, and there's no, nothing that I, there's no, yeah.
Whatever, dude.
It's in the Hall of Fame regardless.
Yep.
Apple Taco is only ever in the value price Hall of Fame.
Well, now it's in the regular Hall of Fame.
Oh, you're so manipulative.
You know, see, I see your score and I say, that's a Steve score.
Yeah, Steve scores 99.
Or 74. He doesn't actually understand how numbers work.
No, he does. I could drink six bottles of that.
Well, okay, he's got that.
Okay, wait. So in fact, let's do that. Couldn't. Let's play that game.
What?
How many bottles of that could we drink?
What, by myself?
No, the four of us, including my wife.
Of this?
Yeah. It's a big number.
Deb's included in there?
Yeah, it's a big number.
Like nine bottles? Maybe 10, 20?
It's a big number.
40 bottles?
That's really good.
I didn't know that you put Deb in that. I mean, it's like a lot.
Well, we're sitting around playing marbles.
50 bottles?
50 bottles of Apple Taco on the wall. 50 bottles of Apple Taco.
I think the main problem is finding 50 bottles.
Pulling down, passing around.
I know, around. Like, Rob, you need to 49
bottles of Apple Taco on the wall.
Why do that?
For all right. This.
Oh, for that. Okay. I will. I'll get a couple bottles.
We've...
Can you set alerts?
Talked about... Yes. Wines ad nauseum. Sure. The Ravenswood line. But this is one of the reasons we do the show, a bottle like this.
They have a whole line. We should try some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
So.
We should.
We'll order some other stuff. And the Carmenier, something
everything,
like that.
Everything, or what are they?
Pretty much. Whites, reds. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah, we'll do it.
No, I agree. I feel like finding a gem like this at $12.99 is unreal.
Maybe they're the McManus of South America. We have their Zin in the
It's extremely undervalued.
Yeah, the Zin Vendel is extremely. It's been so undervalued. It's been sitting in there waiting. It's like, did I get a number? I mean, when do I? There's not enough time on me for the show this week. When do I? We keep bumping it, and so it's like we've even printed off like all the materials and whatnot, and it's just getting ready to go. Well, this isn't my okay. So it just sits there. We need to drink.
Taking a time out for the COVID.
It's been there for a while. It's just like it's getting excited about drinking McManus Zinfandel. Although we weren't excited about drinking McManus Petit Sirah or Petit Verdot, and we enjoyed that. So.
We enjoyed them both. Those were two of our more surprising wines that we really enjoyed them.
Yes, maybe it's like I just don't want to break the streak because I don't think the Zin's going to get the job done. But that's okay. Maybe it'll be bottle two tonight. You just don't know.
Ooh,
tonight is another kitchen sink. Let's just say that because we have fire steam. So, folks, we're going to bid you adieu tonight.
I do.
After the Pinot retrospective. And we're going to see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.